a number of very special tzaddikim. There's many, every person in tzaddik in the faith is very special. But some of the more famous tzaddikim were nifter this week. We saw Havoida from Slanim, the Guti Yid. Many of you probably haven't heard of the Guti Yid. And other very, very special tzaddikim. But it was very hard to pass up on an opportunity to speak about the Kotzker Rebbe. Kotzker's Yortzeit will be Shabbos, Abalina L'Toiva. Happens to be also the Yortzeit of Reb Leibel Eiger. It was also a tough second. But to speak about the Kotzker, pass up on the Kotzker was something I just couldn't bring myself to do. The son-in-law of the Kotzker was the Avni Nezer from Sachachov. He retold something that he had heard from the mouth of the Kotzker. And you know that the Kotzker, just a little bit about his life, so he began as a Talmud of the Yid HaKadosh. And the Cheder of the Yid HaKadosh was really for Yechidim. If Yechidei Skula would go to the Yid HaKadosh, but for the most part, Kol Zman that the Rebbe from Lublin was alive, he was the Rebbe for Am Yisrael. There's a little bit of a sechsuk between the Chayza and the Yid HaKadosh, and there was a breakaway. And so the Kotzker found his way to the Yid HaKadosh. And with the passing of the Yid HaKadosh, he took the Rebbe of Bunim as his Rebbe. And then when Reb Bunim passed away, so it was fair game. And there was other Rebbes who stepped up, but that's when the Kotzker began his court. And the Kotzker was very unique in that he was very, very sharp, as I'm sure all of you know, the sharpness in the Cheder of Kotz. Kotz was a very unique type of a Chassidus. And it had thousands and thousands who came to Kotz to be in the 100 Amos of the Rebbe, because the Rebbe himself, for many, many years, over 20 years, he locked himself away in a room, and only on rare occasion did he come out. He would daven by himself, and he was behisboididus like that for many, many years. But the fire that was in Kotzk could be felt throughout the whole world, and especially those, the thousands who came, were mevakish, the nekuda pnimi of what Kotz represented. It was something which was very, very unique and special. The Kotzker, he once remarked to his son-in-law, the Avni Nezer, he said, "My neshama comes from the days which were pre-Churban Beis HaMikdash." That's what he said. He says, Bechlal didn't belong to the Dar. And he says, "Biyasi ke'es l'hayama," the reason why I'm here now, is to be mevayer mahi kedusha u'mahi chitzonius. It's to teach the world what is real, what is kedusha, and what's chitzonius. Kotzker had a very sharp gedder, a very fine line as to what's considered kedusha and what's considered chitzoni. The emes in Kotzker was so sharp that the Varki Rebbe told the Kotzker, he said to him, "This chassidus is not going to last, because something which is so sharp, the emes which is too revealed, the people can't handle it." And he was right. Afapichin, the Kotzker heard him, he says, "Afapichin, I have to do what I need to do." He felt that that's what he was here to do. I'm not going into detail about this emes of the Kotzker, but he felt that he was in this world for this shlichus and to have an emes like that. And he didn't say, he says, "I can't make cheshbonis about what's going to be later. This is the emes which is required now. Whether it lasts or not is Hashem's cheshbon. But this is the emes which I have to teach the world." Even the Chidush Yerim, he was maflik ba'oin, ma'oin ma'oin about the shvachim of the Kotzker. He says, "Ki ein benim se Yehudi amiti kaze." Doesn't exist a Jew like this, a truthful Jew like this. He says, "Ledaito, in my mind, hu godol b'madrega k'may ha'bal shem tev." K'may ha'bal shem tev.
In the same time as the Chidush?
Yeah, Chidush Yerim was like a Talmud of his, yeah. Talmud. Just a few things which he said, a few ma'isim, not in any particular order. He says that in the Kabbalah's kahal room, where people would come to see the chayza, the Kotzker, in the room where he would be makabel kahal, so it was a very tiny room for a big island. So once a Jew came and he saw the push and he saw the shoving and he saw the tightness of the room, so he said to the Kutzker, he says, why don't you just invest in a bigger room? So the Kutzker said to him, in Yiddish, I'm going to translate it. He says, Einchem Yoidim, you have no idea. Ad kama nitharim kishahem nitchakim etzli. You have no idea how much they purify themselves in this room before they come to me. Big Musar Haskel. It's a big Musar Haskel. Sometimes to get into a Rebbe or to go somewhere, we feel like it's tight and it's uncomfortable, and we just think that it's part of the difficulties and the challenges. But the emes is that's the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to be. To come to the Rebbe, sometimes it's going to be pushing, it's going to be shoving. People say it's not their hair, it's not menschlich, but, you know, not everything about the Chassidim was menschlichkeit. Especially the Kutzker was very sharp against menschlichkeit. He types the pasuk, Shlach lecha anashim. He said, Shlach lecha anashim. In the beginning of Parsha Shlach, anashim is like menschlich. He said, Shlach lecha anashim. Throw away your menschlichkeit. Throw away the menschlichkeit. It's a very deep opinion what that means, so with the menschlichkeit. But the idea is that a Jew has to have higher aspirations than to be a mensch. He needs to be godly. That's the idea. He needs to be godly. And there's a certain menschlichkeit in being godly, too. But if a person spends his life just being a good person, and he doesn't strive to be kadosh, like Hashem, so he said about that, Shlach lecha anashim. Throw that away. A person has to have higher hasagas than being a ben adam. He needs to have higher hasagas than that. He's in a neshama, and he should conduct himself like a neshama conducts itself. And it also is good, how a neshama conducts itself. It's nothing less than a mensch. Father once came to the Kutzker and he said to him, my son is about to be bar mitzvah, so teach me how I'm supposed to be mechanech my son. So he said to him, if you're mechanech yourself to go in the ways of the tzaddikim and to do good things, so maybe your son will also have a good chinuch too. He said about these years from bar mitzvah to the age of 20, and Hashem, we have a lot of bachrim here. He said, the Klozhig Lover said in the name of the Kotzker, he said that the 7 years from 13 to the age of 20 are connected to Zayin Midos, which is Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, and Malchus. And he said about them, Umashalim Matzlichim Bahem. He says if a person is not Matzlich in those years, as Achokach Ich Shirak Lo Yavoid, he says a person still has to continue on. But this is, but it won't be. It you're going to work very hard, but it's not going to go as good. It's not going to go as good. Ki hem hayasoid the shivim shana. These 7 years, from 13 to 20, are the yasoid years of a person's 70 years of his life. Those seven are like nichla on each one of those years times 10, from 13 to 20. I don't know what we're going to say for ourselves.
That's all I guess.
Yeah. I had to say it. The Kutzker was very much in favor of learning Torah. He felt very much that in order for a Jew to really grow in his Avodas Hashem, a person needs to dedicate himself to Limud HaTorah, Every single day, that person has to know that his commitment to Torah is what makes or breaks a Jew. That was part of that MS. He says there was once a Balagala who was taking Chassidim to Kutsk. A Balagala. He was a simple person. He was Mamash and Arma Aretz. But he was a big Balev. And when he saw the Chassidim, how they conducted themselves in this wagon that he was carrying, apparently they had enough Derech Eretz in it. So he saw the Achdus and he saw the sincerity. It made such a Roshim on him that he said, when he got to Kutsk, he says, I have to come into the Beis Medrash, see what's going on. So he walked into the Beis Medrash. You can imagine, the Beis Medrash in Kutsk was a very big Beis Medrash. There were hundreds, and the way that they described the Beis Medrash in Kutsk, that everybody had their inyan. There's no copycats in Kutsk. Everybody, this one in the corner, there was those who were learning Tehillim, and this one, there were people who were Behis Baididis, and this over there, they were drinking coffee and schmoozing, and over here, the people were learning, and here, they were Mufalfa and Halacha. He walked in, he saw such a sight. He couldn't get over it. So, to go into the Rebbe, it was a very big pachad to go into the Dalai Lama of the Rebbe. But this Jew, he was so on fire, so behislavas, this big balev, he went into the room of the Kutzker. So he came into the Rebbe and he said to him, It says, teach me right now. Teach me what I need to do to be a good chassid, to be a good Jew. What should I be thinking to myself? Imagine if somebody asked you that question, how many thoughts you would have in your head. Like, what are you going to tell a Jew like that? He's on fire, he's turning to you, you're the Rebbe, and you're like, tell, you have it, he's in your hands, he'll do anything you tell him to say. So this is what the Rebbe told him. This is what he said. I don't know what to tell you to do. I'm not able to tell you what to do. But he says, but if you sit here and you grab a Gemara and you learn a Tosfos, you'll know on your own what to know. So that's exactly what he did. He pulled the Gemara off the shelf, grabbed the Chavrusa, he started to learn, and he learned, and he learned, and he learned, and he became a big Balmadrin. That's what he told him. Again, a lot of these things, we could talk about them for a long time, but the point is just to throw out some stories, and then you can think about it on your own. If even one of 10 stories connects with you, then it was kedai. Nikotsky used to say that when you're learning a sugi in Gemara, the first thing you need to do is to go over the entire sugya first. Don't start to learn the sugya and then you start to get involved in the shakla v'tayr of the Gemara and then to start to ask questions and to look into the Rishon and this without seeing the entire sugya. First things first. You need to cover the entire sugya first one time and then you go back and you start to ask questions. That's what he said. Because you'll see that because you know what's going to happen later on, it answers a lot of the kashas already. Now, he didn't explain this, but he didn't just say Vartlach. This wasn't just something which was about learning Torah. Lani Astayanti, this is a lesson in life. Because what happens is that when we look at things in details, in a vacuum, and we don't look at the big picture, we have kashas. We have kashas. Like somebody once came to the Chazon Ish and they said to him, so explain to me the Holocaust. Explain to me the Holocaust. He says, imagine if you just walked into a room and walked into a hospital room and you walked in and you saw that there was a relative of yours who was lying on the table, and there was a man dressed in white who was holding a knife over him. Right? You'd scream, you'd shout, you'd jump him. He says, but if somebody were to tell you that your relative on the table has a machala, and the one who's standing with a knife in his hand is a doctor, and he's about to do a procedure to save his life, right? You'd kiss him. Forever how could you possibly pay him? He says, you have a kash on the Holocaust because you're in this world now, you just came in, right? And you're looking at the Holocaust and you have a kasha. Where were you for the past 5,000 years? You're looking at the prat. You don't see the klal. If you were to see the big picture, then you would understand what's pshat in the Holocaust. And that's really what we say every single day in davening. We say the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar Nidreshes Bahem. Why does it have to be a hakdama to davening? And the reason is because it pertains to davening. It's not just a way to darsh in the Torah. It's a way of life. Because one of the ways that we darsh in the Torah is a klal uprat uklal. The first thing we need to do is look at the klal. We need to go through the whole sugya first. And then you get into the pratim. And if you do that well, then you'll understand the klal the way it's supposed to be understood. Because we go into davening, we have a lot of requests, we have a lot of tzaris, and we're going to ask the Eibishter, what's pshat in this, what's pshat in this, what's pshat in this? But a Jew needs to know that there's 13 ways to be Dairish Hashem. We don't come in asking questions like, why like this? Hashem sees the klal, and then he gives us the prat. But if a Jew with his limited vision is only looking at the prat, he has kashas. But if he takes a look at the whole klal, mitzad the klal, there's no kashas. That's how we learn Gemara, and that's how we learn life. Along these lines, once a chassid from Kotz came to the Rebbe, and difficulties and challenges in his life, he didn't know what to do with himself. So he came crying to the Kotzker. He says, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? So the Kotzker said to him, Ha'aminli, believe me, Ineni yodea madua magia lakach, l'chakach. I don't know why this is happening to you. Ava b'tuchani, but trust me, She'ilu ani ha'yisi b'mokom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I were in Hashem's place, afani lo ha'yisi koitzev l'cha acheres. I wouldn't do anything else than this. We forget sometimes that that there's nobody who loves us more than Ribbono Shel Olam. He loves us more than anybody. And there's nobody who loves his chassid more than a Rebbe loves his chassid. We forget. We forget that Hashem is tzaddik v'chol derecha v'chassid v'chol ma'asav. He's the greatest chassid of all. Just like the Rebbe is the biggest chassid, Hashem is an even bigger chassid than that. So the Kotzker says, you know how much I love you. So if I was in Hashem's position, I wouldn't do anything else than this. Along these lines, the Kotzker has a very famous vart. You may have heard this before. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to sing Shira, and a malach came and slapped him on the mouth. He slapped him on the mouth, and Chazal said that he would have sang Shira even greater than David HaMelech would have sang Shira. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu slapped him on the mouth, he stopped saying Shira. So the Kotzker teaches this Gemara, and he said, it's not the pshat, as it seems, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the Shira of Nebuchadnezzar. What he was teaching him was the following thing. He says, you want to sing Shira with the Keser on your head? You think that's a big deal, to be the king and to sing Shira? He says, I want to hear a Shira. After I smack you in the mouth, I want to hear your Shira. Okay, that was the Shira of David HaMelech. David HaMelech, Chazal said, there was nobody who suffered more in history than David HaMelech. Even more than Eov suffered, David HaMelech suffered. And David HaMelech sang Shira. He sang Tehillim. Because David says, Im chesed ha-shira b'mishpat ha-shira. No matter what you give me, I'm going to sing your Shira. So here Nebuchadnezzar could have sang such a big Shira, but he had to slap him in the mouth, and he says, now you sing Shira. Not that I don't want your Shira. After I slap you in the mouth, I want you to sing Shira. That's what Hashem wants. He wants us that we should be Maimin, be Beteach in Him. You didn't come to Kutz for skulas. That's not how it worked. That wasn't the Kutzker way. He told it to you as it is. It was a very sharp emes then. He said it as it is. And that's a vort which says it as it is. We can talk more stories, but it's already late. We'll end up with one more story. It's on the Parsha. The Brisker Rav he would frequently say Vartlich on the Kotzker. I can see why. So somebody once asked the Brisker Rav, what's the Eitzah to not become Mitbalbel from the Nisyonos of the times? A person shouldn't stray from the path of Emes. So he said this vart from Kotzker. He heard from a Kotzker the following vart. It says in this week's parasha, the coming parasha, it says, Vayishma Yisrei. That Yisrei heard and he came. So the Gemara asks, Mashmu Hashama Uba, what did he hear that made him come? Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek. So affect the Kotzker, what do you mean? Why does Rashi have to say, why does Chazal have to say, Kriyas Yamsuf he heard? It says explicitly in the Pasuk that everybody, that he heard about it, it says that he heard about Mitzvah Mitzrayim. Everybody, of course. So this is what Rashi's teaching us, says the Kotzker. It says that he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, and he heard about Mechiyas Amalek. Oh, I forgot one part. Sorry. Rewind. So once a chassid who came to the Rebbe, he wasn't there for a while. He didn't come to the Rebbe for a while. The Rebbe, so the Kotzker said to him, where have you been? He says, you can be a chassid also in the house. You don't have to be a chassid by the Rebbe, you can be a chassid in the house too. So this is where the word comes in. Why Kriyas Yamsuf? And Melchemes Amalek, why does Rashi have to mention Kriyas Yamsuf? Elamai, Rashi wants you to know that even though on the Amalekim they heard about Kriyas Yamsuf, they still attacked the Eden. And they still remained Amalek. So that's what he said. That was the Vart the Kotzker told him. He says, you can hear a lot in the home too. You can hear lots of things, but you'll still remain Amaleki. if you want to really make a difference in your life, you have to come to the Rebbe. The Kotzker said, Kotzker, he said, the Baal HaSulam said in the name of the Kotzker, he said, Chassid needs to know that everything which he has, all of his koichas in learning and all of his koichas in davening, all comes from his Rebbe. All comes from his Rebbe. And by the way, even the Rebbe knows that too, that all of his koichas also come from his Rebbe. And that's not something which ever goes away. It's a way that it brings, it's a truth, it's true. It's a very sharp truth. Again, we're speaking very sharp truths tonight. It's Kotzker night. But the truth is that It's a sharp emes that a person needs to know that everything that he has, it's because he has a Rebbe who's a tzinor, and all the brachas which come down to him comes from his Rebbe. So that's why a person never loses by being mechabed a Rebbe, or by giving to a Rebbe and taking care of a Rebbe. This is the channel from which everything comes down. It's the biggest investment is to invest in a person's Rebbe, because a person's Rebbe is much, much more than his teacher. It's considered to be the channel from which everything good in Gashmias and in Ruchnias comes down. And it's called the Sraf. It's called the Kutzker. It's called the Sraf. The Naim Elimelech in this week's parasha is very interesting. The Pasuk says that he writes, Tzadikim Nikraim Srafim. A Tzadik is called a Saraf. Hashem Hislavus Eish Mishamayim Vadvikus Bahem. Because of the fire of the tzaddik, that he serves Hashem with the fire, and they go mi madrega le madrega, like a fire is always going up. This is why a tzaddik is called a sraf. It's called a sraf. So the kutzker was a very sharp fire in kutzk. It was a very, Chazal say that the fire of a tzaddik is very, very sharp. Very, very sharp. We have to learn from the ways of the tzaddikim, how to, like a fire, to always be constantly growing, and to be mekasher ourselves to tzaddikim, to rebeim, to make good channels for ourselves. Shzeichah to walk in his footsteps. Chosi Yagan Alein Avak Kaisan.
Amen.